This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Fan 1201, noon lunch hour. Do a little baseball. You know, pretty soon you'll be hearing Susan and John, hopefully pretty soon. Susan and John signing on for those, midday or midweek getaway, final game of a road trip or whatever it is. 105 first pitch, 1230 pregame, which means Tiki and I get half a show, which is nice because they gave us an hour more from our national show. So we'll get a little bit back then. Not that we're trying to cut the show in half because we love it, but Yankees are hopefully coming. Yankees and Mets and baseball and spring training and all that stuff that comes with the warm weather and the, in my opinion, and I know it's not quite what it was for some, but baseball, there's still nothing better than baseball. We have a real interesting situation, though, with Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, to me, well, let me first ask the question, all right? Name a more marketable New York athlete right now than Aaron Judge.
I mean, Zach is, obviously.
Well, go ahead. Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Marketable?
Yeah.
Of course he's marketable.
Well, but I'm when I use the word marketable,
you're talking about because he has success.
I'm including everything.
Yeah. I mean,
star power, box office.
I'm just talking about
brand. He looks good.
Good looking dude.
He's the good-looking guy, isn't he?
He's the quarterback of the Jets.
Just broke up with his girl.
Did he?
Yeah. Did you see what she looks like, too?
I did not.
I mean, if you break up with that, you are...
I mean,
you've got options.
He's the quarterback. He is the quarterback of the Jets.
Yeah, but so is Darnold. I don't think Darnold was running around with that. It's his girl. It's his ex-girl from Utah, though. So I'm not trying to be, weird or get out of line here. They broke up, and I'm sure it's amicable. We hope. Either way, hopefully he's a good football player.
To answer your question, not many people.
Exactly. So I mean,
if anybody, it's probably Aaron Judge.
It's Aaron Judge. It's not Kevin Durant. It's not. They're better. They might be better. Well, Kevin Durant is better than relative to the sport. It's not Kyrie Irving. It's not a Ranger yet. You want to tell me DeGrom, but I think it's hard for a pitcher to be that every 5 days.
Yeah, you're incorporating talent. You're incorporating perception. You're incorporating likability.
Everything.
Like all that stuff.
The whole spiel.
Yeah. Aaron checks all the boxes, man.
Yeah. I thought maybe for a minute it could have been Saquon when he first stepped on the scene.
Yeah. He just hasn't been healthy.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, neither is Aaron Judge, but it feels like we have a definition of what Aaron Judge is at his greatest.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of don't have that with Saquon yet.
Yeah, we got a glimpse early, and then it's been fairly incomplete for a multitude of reasons since.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Lindor in this category, but if Lindor, had this great first season last year with the Mets, his personality, I think will, and I do think he bounces back this year, especially with better players around him, mm-hmm. will elevate him to a level that is highly marketable, I hope, for Met fans, highly productive. But the thing about Judge, he's going to be 30 this year, so he's right in the early phase of his prime. He's an undeniable superstar when he's healthy. He's got box office. He's homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gentleman. He's a good kid. He's a good young man, which matters. You trust him, is what I'm saying.
That's right.
So I don't think that this gets incredibly dicey, but as you said yesterday, and even before we had Sweeney on the show, if they don't hammer out this contract before the lockout ends, they're not talking turkey during the season.
Yeah.
And then we have a different situation.
Yeah, we do, because he's obviously a free agent. Now, the question that I'll toss back at you, BT, after we set this up a minute, is that when you listen to Brian Cashman talk about Aaron Judge, he actually contradicts what Sweeney Murdy said, which is that he's not a priority. Brian Cashman will say, obviously he's a priority, but we know where Brian Cashman's dealing with. He has the money that he's got to think about, and the, how much cash they're willing. Exactly. He's got an edict. We want to build internally from our own farm system. Aaron kind of fits that bill, but how much do you want to pay him? So the question is, what's he worth? Like, what's his value if you're going to give him a huge contract? Because the number that I'm, and I was cursorily searching,
Cursorily.
Just nice. hard word to say, actually.
It is cursorily.
I won't say it again.
Cursorily. cursory search, but you make it an adverb, basically.
Right.
The cursorily?
Yeah, because searching is the verb. And,
I know.
You gotta qualify it.
I understand.
So it wasn't like digging in deep. was it like drilling?
I understand the word. I'm pretty good with my words.
About $189 to $225 million.
$189. Don't insult the man.
So that's what I found, and I agree with you.
Don't insult the man.
He's worth more than that.
Yes,
but will the Yankees be willing to give him that? And if not, who else would? And I think we know who we talked about yesterday. Probably would be in the market for an Aaron Judge type talent,
which would be the Mets.
Yes.
And listen, by the way, who knows? Maybe the Red Sox. I don't know. Toronto always, every couple of years, gets a little wacky with their money. Who knows? But Betts has that long term deal with the Dodgers. What, 12, 13 years? You would think it would preclude the Dodgers, though they seemingly have an endless supply of money.
Yeah, but we heard something interesting about the Dodgers when they signed that deal. Remember, I forgot who we talked to when that deal first happened, and we're like, man, that's a lot of money for a guy who's going to end that contract at 38.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it was even 40.
I think it was Harold Reynolds, the conversation we were talking about.
I think it was Harold Reynolds. And Harold said to us, and I didn't even think about it like this at the time, but it made sense. And he said, look, if they win a World Series, which they have subsequently done, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 100% worth it from a marketing, from a branding, from a a world champion income standpoint. It's absolutely worth it. That calculus works for a team that's owned by Guggenheim partners, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily work from a family-owned business in a sense.
Well, it's always worked for the family-owned business.
But they elect. Not lately.
Well, but it's not that it's not working. They choose not to follow the same blueprint financially. Yeah. They've got the money.
Yeah.
Between the Yes Network, they have the money, the Yankees.
I understand why they're doing what they're doing financially. And we talked to CeCe about this a week ago or 2 weeks, whenever it was, last week, about how they're not looking to spend the money. But why not anymore? Like, what changed so dramatically? Like, if you want to win a championship and you can spend the money like the Dodgers, why not spend the money like the Dodgers?
Well, I think, this is just a theory. But first, it's funny because when the Dodgers when the Yankees spent $250 million back in 2009, and they brought in Sabathia, and they brought in A.J. Burnett, and they brought in Mark Teixeira, like the Dodgers, that resulted in a championship. I mean, that was the first year for the Yankees. So if you want to subscribe to the notion of, well, so with Harold Reynolds, you get the one championship, it's worth it. But then the Yankees got very sloppy, and they didn't develop players, and they were chasing the Knicks.
Chasing another one
while not rebuilding on the fly, but tweaking and aggressively retweaking, and that wasn't working. And it was kind of this odd place where the dust was now on the champion, certainly from the one in 96, 98, 99, and 2000. But even now in 2009, there's so much dust on that championship, but there's still an association. We expect the Yankees to win, or at least to be in the mix to win, and they've just kind of changed their financial philosophy. I think part of it's based on the pandemic. I think part of it is that people don't go to games the way they used to. I mean, I like the new stadium. I love the old stadium. I'm not even sure if I like the new stadium, but I love the old stadium. And I've been to a million playoff games, as you know. When that thing had 56,000 lunatics in it, stuffed to the gills, it's just different, man. It's a different energy. It's just different. They're built different. There's a lot of reasons why the Yankees have morphed into a B-plus product rather than the usual A-minus. I don't know if I can solve it all in one radio segment, But I'll tell you this, if you let somebody like Aaron Judge walk out the door, that B-plus could eventually go to a B-minus or a C-plus. You keep that guy in-house.
Yeah.
I don't care what it costs.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason that, you know, that we're having this conversation is because Hoff brought this up the other day, and we were talking about the Mets and how Steve Cohen is spending money. And if there's money to be spent, and he's now going to take on that role of New York big spender, why not go after? I would go after Aaron Judge.
I'll tell you why I wouldn't.
If you're Steve Cohen.
If I'm Steve Cohen.
If you're the Mets, why would you not?
Because I've got somebody else that's better than Aaron Judge, and that would be Juan Soto, and that's who I'm bringing in. Now, I thought, if I may have missed this. I don't think I did, but there was a thought that Juan Soto's 16-year-old brother was going to sign with the Mets, but he didn't. He signed with the Nationals, right?
Correct.
Okay, he did sign with it. That was about a week ago where that came to fruition.
What's his name?
But there was I forget his first name, but there was a lot of conjecture that he was going to sign with the Mets. And then even Juan Soto had put something on Instagram within the last couple of months.
Elian,
there you go. I've seen his swing. Wow. I'm sure he can run a little bit too, but his swing looks ridiculous. And it looks like he's got a long, lean body that'll fill out. Juan Soto, as much as I love Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, I mean, you could give me Acuna, you could give me Tatis. I think Juan Soto is the absolute, undeniable best hitter in baseball his age.
But when are you getting Juan
Soto? You're going to get him in what? Would that be 2 years?
He's free agent in 2025.
Yeah, 2 years.
So
3 years.
3 years.
But that's why you signed a couple of players this offseason.
Yeah, but I mean...
And you already have some good... Alonso's going to smack 40 bombs. You got Lindor. You got some players.
So are they mutually exclusive?
I don't think. You're not bringing in Juan Soto, who's going to get $400 million, and Aaron Judge? Let's be a little realistic here.
I'm just saying, money... If you want to spend money, and you want to be great, and you want to have the best players, you want to be the most marketable team, you want to win World Series, why not? Right? You got to do something reasonable, and the question is Aaron Judge going to... Talking about length-wise, is Aaron Judge going to be amenable to something reasonable for the championship viability over the next 3 or 4 years and then hopefully integrating Juan Soto as well? Like, if you're thinking of it that way, it makes a lot of sense if you're Aaron Judge. But I don't know. I don't get a sense of Aaron Judge's personality. Like, some guys you can look at, and not look at, but you can, like, just understand their situation.
Yep.
And you know they're breaking the bank. They don't even care. They're breaking the bank. I get the sense that maybe Aaron Judge isn't that, but I don't know.
I think he's a lot like Jeter in the sense that, number one, his leadership style is similar to Jeter.
Yeah.
A little bit more understated than, you know, overtly in your face, which we appreciate because, you know, you need both types of leadership. And I think he really has an understanding and true reverence for the uniform and the history, which obviously plays in the Yankees' favor.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody's going to give you $15 million a year more, or in totality, $90 or $100 million more, well, then that reverence could subside a bit. I mean, money talks eventually, but listen, this is not just to conjure up some ridiculous radio conversation and a hot take. I don't think Aaron Judge will ever step in the batter's box in Citi Field outside of an interleague game or the World Series. I mean, he's not playing for the Mets, but... Until he is signed, this is hanging over the head of the Yankees. So it's a fair, it's fair to have a bit of a speculatory nature to the conversation. All right, Don is in Basking Ridge, and Don is on the fan, Tiki and Tierney. Don.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I just wanted to talk about that point that Sweeney brought up yesterday about, you know, if the Yankees go over the luxury tax, they're basically going to be subsidizing the Rays. Can you explain that more? I don't know if it's fully
the money, but Don, the money gets dispersed around baseball once you go over that threshold, and then obviously a team like the Rays,
who don't
the
spend
A's,
money,
the Orioles, who have limited financial streams, then they obviously get a little bit of a piece of that. So you can subsidize it either through a minor league engagement, maybe get that extra stick, the extra third man in the rotation.
Yeah.
So that was a very astute point from Sweeney, and it's accurate.
But it wasn't. Don,
it's not talked about much.
But Don, don't think of it as directly like, oh, it's a penalty for the Yankees, so that because they're in the same, you know, division, that they get like direct cash. It's not necessarily that everybody gets it, but it's just more money.
It matters more to them,
and more exactly, it matters more to the Rays because it's not a rounding error like it would be for, say, the Dodgers, for instance.
Now, if you were the Yankees, you were Cashman, would that be a main concern to you?
I wouldn't let Cashman make that choice.
To me, that's not Cashman's call. That's management's.
Yeah.
This is above Cashman. Cashman, if I own the Yankees, Cashman's got no say in Aaron Judge.
But Don, sorry. To answer your question directly, if it was me, if I was in Cashman's position and I was saying, oh, we go over the luxury tax and, oh, God, the Rays are going to get an extra $1 million because of the disbursement, okay, whatever. They get an extra $1 million. I got my guy. And I'm more on a trajectory to win a World Series than they are. But that's what I would care
Which,
about.
Which, by the way, is not true because the Rays pitch better and catch the ball better.
True, but you know what I mean.
And they're better managed as well.
But you know what I mean.
Like, I know.
In my mind, theoretically, I'm saying I'm doing what I think or know, it better be not think, but know is right for the team to win a championship.
Correct.
That signing Aaron Judge for the long haul creates a percept, whatever. It is what it is.
I know what you mean. You're also trying to save your own ass. Let's be honest about one thing. Brian Cashman's got to start winning again.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Brian Cashman. I like him. I think he's great with the media in terms of being transparent. You know, doesn't run and hide. He's always available, and we need him on the show. He can't talk about players, so it's a little hard to, because you can't mention player by name because of lockout, so I don't know really where we'd go with it. But I'd love to have him on, but I'll also say with all due respect, I'm not so sure that Brian Cashman should be the GM in a year or two. Mm. I mean, I think the period of evaluation for Brian Cashman, for me, and just look up old tweets, has been the last 2 years. I'm like, you got no lefty thumpers, you got guys who can't run, you've got a bunch of, you know, DHs, you've got positional redundancy, you don't catch the ball, you sign in these bargain basement pitchers, Corey Kluber, these guys who get hurt every year.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, you're the GM of the Yankees. Act like it.
At 35 years old, Kluber, too.
Yeah,
sounded
man.
Good.
Yeah. If he's your fifth arm.
Yeah.
It's not when you lose Tanaka and you've got some other Severino's hurt as he was until he came back. Michael is in Elmwood Park. Michael is on the fan, Tiki and Tierney. Mike.
TNT.
Your dynamite.
TNT. Yeah, I used to be a singer. I could do ATVT Xmas.
Nice.
Hey,
love it.
Real quick. All right, well, you guys are on the Yankee thing. You know what? When it comes to Aaron Judge, you got to throw a boatload of money at this guy. Mm. You can never, never let him go.
Yeah.
The fan base that this guy has, the accolades, the merchandise, everything that goes along with Aaron Judge. Now, listen to me. People can give me flack for saying this, but Aaron Judge is much more of a Derek Jeter than Derek Jeter ever was.
Explain yourself. Go ahead. Explain yourself.
In his personality, I'm a right field bleacher creature since the 80s. I'm a right field bleacher creature since the 80s.
All right, we heard
and
you.
Nobody has ever been so sociable with the fans. You know, this guy is the Yankees.
I love him.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to love him.
I love him.
You know, and again, the autographs he signs before the games, and he's just an accessible, lovable guy.
Yeah.
I have a thing going out. Now, Keith McPherson is a bleacher creature out there with me.
Okay. Does the nice show
Keith
here at the fan?
That I got something going with Aaron, is that when there's two outs, I yell, how many outs, Aaron? And he always flips me to two, you know?
Nice.
Two.
Nice. Telling you peace.
Two dead, Mike. Great. Two dead, Mike. Two.
Go ahead, Mike.
Teak, real quick, before I get cut off, I want to bring just a long memory. After your rookie season, when you were with Camilla.
Yeah,
you came
Greg Camilla.
Yankee Stadium.
That's right.
And you came to my opening day party in the parking lot.
I do remember that. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Because Camilla was my dude. We were like young nobodies at that point.
You guys were training up like in Oakland and everything together. And what I did was one of my friends wound up getting a real Cuban Cohiba.
That's right.
And I gave that one to you.
Nice. And I'm sure I smoked it.
Yep.
No, nice.
I got a picture of you and me with our arms around each other.
Nice.
And
I
you
love
enjoyed it.
It
and
I love
it was
it.
Great.
Mike, are you on social media? I want you to post that picture and we'll have a little fun with it here on the FAN account and our
oh,
show.
Oh, totally. I'll pull
Put
that
it
out.
Up.
It's awesome.
Put it up.
It is great.
Put it up.
He looked happier than I did.
I love it. That's because he sliced open the Cohiba and he put weed in it. It was an expensive blunt.
It was probably one of the first cigars I ever smoked, too, by the way. If it was 1998.
I'm sure. It's been a Cohiba.
You
walked right to the good stuff,
But by the way, John, Jeter didn't play right field, so he couldn't, like, engage with the blue
No,
chicken.
But I know, what, listen, I know what he was
saying,
Jeter was
too.
Like a robot.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge comes across as a human being,
right.
Which I love. All right, so I want to play something for you. This was, as we've referenced Sweeney a few times, this was yesterday on The Fan with us. And this was Sweeney about once the lockout ends, what the Yankees might be thinking.
When the lockout ends, you're going to be in this big frenzy to try to get a lot. You know, they still need, they need a shortstop for this year, a first baseman, maybe a center fielder, catcher, another pitcher, all these things for this year. Aaron Judge signing a contract extension is not a priority. And if you have, what, 2 or 3 weeks to get deals done before you start a spring training camp, well, then, you know, that's not going to happen.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this out there again because I do think this is a part of the equation. Now, if he was hitting 230, this would be less of the equation. But you look at the marketable New York stars right now. Randall was one, but his plight is what it is. You know, KD doesn't say anything. And, you know, Irving, his story is very unique. And they're great players. Harden's been here a minute, whatever. He might even get dealt. That wouldn't stun me. Rangers, they're really good. But is there that superstar? Well, there is. There are actually a couple. But DeGrom's a pitcher every fifth day. Lindor was bad last year. Plus, he didn't treat the fans with respect with that whole stupid thumbs down thing. So where, outside of Joe, who's more marketable?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Who's more beloved in the city? Jets and the Giants don't really have anybody right now. They're
they don't have transitioning. Yeah, they don't have the success to even be in the conversation.
That's what I'm saying. It's a big part of it. So you look at the fact that he produces, that people really willingly, proactively reach into their pocket to go and see Aaron Judge. Yeah. And then when he plays, he's great. I don't know how he's not a Yankee for a long time. But again, until the contract is signed, it's not signed. 877-337-6666. What do you think is a fair contract for somebody who's been hurt, and he's also about to be 30, but he's that important to the team? We'll get more of your calls coming up next on The Fan. 1228 here on The Fan, Tiki and Tierney up until 2. Then it's Carton and Roberts. 877-337-6666. Hav, did you hear the story the other day? I saw it on, I saw the clip on social media. And I saw these slug describe. I didn't watch the clip because I was doing something with the kids. When Evan got trampled at a Mets game during a fight, what was that all about?
I heard a little bit about it. He was 12 years. I do know he was 12. Okay. And I believe that there was a fight and that he ended up somehow, I think he had to go to the hospital afterwards because he got trampled on after the.
He got taken out of Shea in an ambulance?
I believe that was the case.
We got to get him in here after before he starts the show. Only Evan. He was
what?
If your nose wasn't in the scorebook doing the keeping score.
So what happened?
Maybe you would have seen. I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
I missed that. I was too busy watching him fall off his chair.
That I saw. The chair broke. Oh man. 877-337-6666. But Evan and obviously Craig coming up at 2. All right, right now I'm gonna keep rolling with you here and your thoughts on Aaron Judge and, you know, long term relationship with the Bombers. The one thing that I would add, I don't know if this does anything. Well, it certainly enhances his not so much marketability. Well, I guess his marketability, but his ability to play center field at this level. I mean, I don't know. Does it embolden a team to give him an extra year or two and say, okay, you know what? You can play center field until you're about 32, 33, and then we put you in right where we know you're great.
Yeah.
I mean, he played a good center field in a pretty cavernous Yankee Stadium.
No, you're right.
You know,
he's an athlete.
Great athlete.
He's huge. He's like a tight end. He feels like a modern tight end.
I think he looks more like a forward. He's 6'8".
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
That's a good point. You don't realize how big he actually is.
He's a monster. Let's get Brian, who's in White Plains. Brian's on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say, your first 2 weeks have been fantastic. I'm a Giant ticket, season holder. Tiki, you're the best Giant and
appreciate
best
you,
one about.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah, I appreciate you.
Thank you. I just wanted to chime in on the marketability. I think Shesterkin is marketable, but you have that hockey bias. Because look at how marketable Lundqvist was.
Yeah.
Look at how marketable Richter was, Messier. But you have that hockey bias.
Graves.
I just wanted to chime in on that. Graves, too. Gravy was great. But BT, Tiki, thank you for the time. You guys are great. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it, bud. I mean, listen, my experience with hockey, and this is never – we were talking about the Rangers before. Tiki, I watched a little bit of the game. Tiki watched the entire game. I was watching St. John's get waxed by Creighton. That's the only reason I didn't watch the whole game. But – listen, I think I know enough about the sport to know that even the greatest name on ice just doesn't transcend and never will the greatest player in the other sports.
I think
it's not going to happen.
Lundqvist did.
No, he didn't. He didn't transcend Jeter. No, he didn't. Lundqvist was great.
I'm just talking about like,
but he didn't.
Marketability.
Neither did Mike Bossy.
I don't think I ever saw him. Not suited up, knotted up, looking.
Oh no, I'm not saying the guy didn't have style and nice suits.
And
I'm
he was great. He never won the cup, obviously, but he did win Olympic. He won an Olympic.
Yes,
gold
for Sweden.
Sweden.
Yeah, he won. Which is,
I can't remember
is
when
huge.
That was. Yeah, I do. But I mean, that dude was. Every time I met him, I was just impressed.
Oh, Lundqvist was phenomenal.
I mean, I'm not even talking about his acumen as a goalie. I'm just talking about.
No, I'm talking about the whole package.
Like him.
Yeah, his aura, his presence, his place in the city.
I don't know if Shesterkin is that yet.
Yeah, let's give him a little bit of time. It's year, three?
He's 26 years
old. I know he's 26. It's year three, right?
From Moscow. I had to ask Hoff where he's from.
He's from Moscow.
Yeah. So I was seeing all these pictures, the Russian bloc or something, talking about the images of him when he first came to New York. In time, I could see him, but not right now.
No, it's even in time, I don't care. First of all, is he going to be better than Lundqvist? I mean, is he going to have the career that Lundqvist had? Is he going to have the career Martin Brodeur had here, or Billy Smith? Well, he actually could be better than Billy Smith. Now, maybe I'm showing my lack of hockey aptitude there with that statement, but while Billy was really good, I might be wrong. I know he was tough. Like, you'd go by the crease. Billy Smith would smash you with a stick, you know, hit you in the shin guards, give you a little dent. Like, Billy, he was big balls and big game player. But I think, I preface it with, I think that Billy Smith was, I don't want to say a byproduct of what was around him, but that Islanders team was just unstoppable. So it kind of elevated him a little bit, but... Mark is in Brick, New Jersey. Mark is on the fan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Regarding Sweeney's comments on the contract, two things I think kind of play into his take on that. One of which is he came up through the Yankees and likes being the hometown guy and wants to be in pinstripes, so I think the Yankees understand that and think that they're liable to get at least a certain amount of a discount on the contract by him wanting to remain a Yankee. And the second is, he's not a Boris client. Dave Mitrangis is his agent.
Yeah.
And I think that they can kind of string him along a little bit to, later in the season, if need be, without worrying about Boris pulling him out into free agency, you know, immediately.
Maybe.
And,
maybe.
And as a lifelong Mets fan, I'd love to have him. But I agree, he's the most marketable star in New York, and we would never get it for all the reasons I just said.
Yeah, I mean,
thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. I think the Boris part is a big part of this, because I was just telling you this, BT, the management team, they don't feel aggressive, right? They don't feel
about Judge's team.
Judge's is PSI Sports Management.
I don't know much about them. Who do they have? Give me some names.
I don't know a lot.
Who's on their clientele list? You got it in front of you?
Yeah.
Should be on the website.
Yeah, I have it here.
What do we got?
So contract negotiations. So they have James Shields, Padres.
Pitcher.
Yep. $75 million contract, but that was
a while ago.
Six years ago.
Yep.
Cole Calhoun.
Okay.
Just signed a big one.
He's good.
26 for
Angels,
but that was 17.
I like him.
Colton Wong.
Yep. Hey. He's good.
He is good. I'm not saying these aren't good players.
Yeah.
Scott Kingery.
Okay. He's a pitcher, right? Am I getting that right?
Yep.
No,
pitcher?
I think Kingery's like he was with Phillies for a little
looks
bit.
Looks like it. Oh, yeah, he is.
Is he? He's not
six-year deal with the Phillies.
Okay.
Logan Forsythe.
Okay. That's right.
Logan Forsythe.
Uh-huh.
With the Dodgers. And then now Aaron Judge.
Yeah, so, not exactly the, I mean, a good list, but not the list you would think you'd see Aaron Judge on. But listen, he's loyal. They better get him a good deal, otherwise he won't be.
That's right.
And speaking of Boris, Mr. Correa has aligned himself with Mr. Boris. That could be interesting. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. How about, let's go to North Arlington, and James is on the Fan. Jimmy, what's up?
Well, I love talking to you guys. I want to talk real fast about Jeter and Aaron Judge. But let's not forget that they changed the rules for Will Chamberlain, and they changed the rules in hockey for Martin Brodeur. So that puts him in a different league. Remember, they changed the line behind the goal.
Yeah.
But remember, I mean, listen, you're right about Jeter. He certainly was not the friendliest guy. I guess he was. He always said he was quiet and he played for the team. But Aaron Judge is certainly, I hate to say it like this, but Aaron Judge is no Derek Jeter. I mean, Derek Jeter, to his credit, was an unbelievable ball player. And I know he wasn't the best of the media. And being a part of the media, I've written a sports column for 50 years. I guess we don't like him for the fact that he really wasn't a media guy. And Aaron Judge is. But there's really no comparison between the two. The one guy had one good season. Derek Jeter basically never missed a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you argue with that? I mean, pretty close to Cal Ripken.
He was there all the time. The only time Derek was really hurt, I guess that would have been 2003 or 04 when he slid into third base up in Toronto. And I remember it was a weird play, and the catcher, I forget who was catching for Toronto, actually went from behind the dish and wound up on third base, if I have this right. Dove, you might remember this. You don't. All right. And Derek dove headfirst into third, and he slid shoulder into the shin guard of the catcher and it dislocated his shoulder, and he missed a good chunk. And then out, you know, then he got hurt in the playoffs with his ankle. But no, Derek was 150 plus game he's a guy a year.
He's an Iron Man.
Iron Man, yeah. No question. But you could also make the case if Aaron Judge is healthy that night to night, Aaron Judge is the better player.
Yeah, and I don't
you can
think,
make that case.
I don't think
but he's not healthy.
I don't
enough.
Think the conversation is about who's the better player.
No, I didn't. I'm just reacting.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's who's the better leader, like the lifter.
And I'm not even
team.
Trying to go there. I'm just saying, do we re-sign Aaron Judge?
Yeah.
I mean, we can completely respect Jeter and also say he was a little boring, a little robotic, a bit of a bland quote, but still, you know, appreciate his contributions and his amazing Yankee legacy while simultaneously saying Judge has to stay healthy, and if he does, he's worth every penny.
Yeah.
It's that simple, right?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, now, what if he comes out? See, here's the problem.
Talking about Aaron Judge. And he comes out and he's 1 for 20.
No, not even. He'll hit. Even if he hits 270, he's going to hit. If he's healthy, he's going to hit 40 bombs with his eyes shut. You know, play a great right field, good arm, good wheels. But what if he gets hurt in May and he misses 30 games? How does that complicate, which he usually does.
Yeah.
How does that complicate the contract?
A lot.
It does.
Your availability is the biggest thing you have to worry about with the guy. He's going to be 30. This is your 30 season.
He's going to be 30. Yep.
So
that's right.
He's not old, but he's also not young. He's in that tweener age, and he's about to get paid his biggest salary, or biggest contract, at that tweener-ish age, especially for a big bodied player who's been hurt a little bit.
I mean,
not a lot, but a little bit.
No, I think more than a little bit, actually. I think that's an understatement. It's been more a lot than a little bit. And you look at the history of baseball. I mean, remember Richie Sexson played for the Yankees for a minute, big Brewer, a Brewer, big bat. I think he was 6'8", played for Seattle as well, 6'8". Dave Winfield was 6'6". I want to say Dave Parker was 6'6". Strawman was 6'6". Not many 6'7", 6'8", position players at all, I believe, outside of Sexton. I don't mean big unit and pitchers. I mean position guys. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Coming up, more calls. We'll do this until 1, and then we'll talk Knicks with Chris Herring. This book is great. It's called Blood in the Garden, The Flagrant History of the 90s Knicks. It's awesome. More coming up in a moment on the Fan. All right, 47 minutes past the hour. Knick talk coming up. And not like a regurgitation of the last couple of days about how inconsistent they've been and how disappointing they've been. But this book, Blood in the Garden, The Flagrant History of the 1990s Knicks, from Chris Herring. He'll join us. Teague and I have both had the book for a while. We've just zoomed through most of it. It is awesome. Some of you think you know a lot about these 90s Knicks. You don't. Trust me. And we'll get some of those stories flowing in a bit. All right, Teague, I'm going to warn you right now.
Go ahead.
I'm going to warn you right now. I'm going to take a call from a guy that I met. I was probably 16, and by far, by far the craziest guy that I know and the toughest guy that I know and a great athlete, great ball player. Beanie, I'll even throw the last name out there so everybody in Rockaway knows what's up. Beanie Soto is on the fan. Bean, what's happening, buddy?
My brother, how are you doing?
Beanie Boys, what's up?
All right, so listen, Tiki, you got to bear with me.
Go ahead.
Bear with me here. So I know
everybody
knows.
Is this a bear with you like I can comment or bear with you like I need to just turn my mic off?
Well, definitely comment after because everybody knows BT is a great baseball player, but I'm here to tell you, I'm examining you, this boy could shoot the rock. He could shoot the rock. And we played on Holy Trinity on Flatbush Avenue. We were the underdog in every single game. And we got about 45 a game between me and him.
We did.
True story.
Nice. And by the way, Beam, now, by the way, when he says we were the underdogs, that's code for we were the only white team in the league. It's a true story. And we would roll in. Right, Bean? We'd roll in. And
this is the one your dad was a coach.
No. My dad didn't coach. This was older. This guy, I remember one time, Beanie, you must have scored 40 points this game. You dove for a loose ball. You smashed your head. This is at our home gym. Into the wall. There was a nail sticking out. This guy was bleeding, needed stitches. Finished the game. We took him to the hospital. This dude, awesome guy, out of his mind.
Coach Joyce, we have to shout her out. The only female coach in Brooklyn.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We made the playoffs 2 years in a row. Tierney could stroke it. And, you know, I did my thing. Yes, I went to the rack and all that stuff. But you don't get enough credit as a basketball player,
I mean, come on. I appreciate that, Bean. But
that's why he loves basketball. And he always thought that he could be a basketball coach despite not playing.
I could have been Rick Pitino. I've always said that. I was just – I was Beanie, I couldn't move. I was too slow. You know that.
Now listen, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to hear your guys' comments. I just want to tell you, amazing job, BT. You know I love you, kid. Always have. Since the Canarsie Courier, when you sold it to my mother back in the
I remember that. Love you, brother.
What do you got, BT?
Oh, man.
Listen, I'm going to jump. I'm a Met and a Jet fan. Holler at your boy. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you, kid. There you go. Yeah, I remember I was probably 17 and I was selling newspapers on the phone, making cold calls, and I called all my buddies' moms up, and
they
all bought them.
How much?
It was nothing, man.
Like a quarter?
No, it was like for a yearly subscription, maybe the Bay News and Sheepshead Bay, the Queen's Courier, whatever.
Trying to raise money for a trip or something?
No, I'm just trying to put money in the pocket to have a little fun. good hearing from you, Beanie. John's in Hoboken. What's happening, Johnny? How are you?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good job.
Good. Big fans of you guys. My first time calling in. Welcome to the fan. I'm sure it's going well so far.
We love it. We appreciate you.
I'm here talking about Judge. Judge is undoubtedly the face of New York. The only other person that you could argue is probably Jacob DeGrom. Now, he's the most beloved athlete in New York in terms of talent, off the field, just about everything there is. So if you're thinking about a contract for him, there's only a couple ways you could go. People are saying you should give him the Correa-type contract that he's about to get, the Seager, the Lindor, but those guys are younger. You know, none of them are 30 years old like Judges.
Yeah.
But my range is going to be probably seven years, because by the time the contract's up, he'll be, you know, about 37, 38 years old and around $200 million. Would I go more? Absolutely. And he's probably going to ask for a lot more money than that, because you got to consider what he's done off the field. Now, if you take away everything on the field, we know the kind of player he is. Off the field, he's the undisputed leader in the Yankee clubhouse. He's great with the media. He's great with the fans.
Hey, John, when you say off the field, you mean like merchandising. Is that what you're talking about? Because
his demeanor as a person, and then, yes, merchandising. I mean, the amount of money that you can make there for him is just being the face D guy in Manhattan is also, you know, invaluable.
Yeah. It is. And there's again, no doubt.
I don't know Thanks, how John. Much – general managers, or even in this case, Cashman is putting into that. You know what I mean? Like, I would assume that there is some sort of conversation about the marketability of Aaron Judge and what he means.
I think it's more than that. I think they could actually quantify it. If his agents are doing a good job, they will come armed with data points that quantify.
That's why I'm bringing it presence. Up because if you're putting that into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Because who else is that for the Yankees?
Nobody. Gerrit Cole every fifth day, you know, but it's not like DeGrom. Nobody. I mean, the answer is nobody. I'm not going to waste time. Nobody.
You know this because you have a 7-year-old when Colton's thinking about the Yankees and you're going to take him to a game, who's – oh, obviously, he took him to see the Garrett Cole game. So
I mean, yeah, but no, he's Judge guy. He loves
Judge. But generally speaking, it's a random, whatever, summer Tuesday, mm-hmm. and you're taking him to the game. He's excited because he's going to see Aaron Judge.
Want to see Judge all rise.
That's right.
There's no question. You know, in a strange – not in a strange way, but in an off-the-radar way, I think you guys will really appreciate this locally, too. T, you'll like this. I've mentioned the name before. In a way, the future and the path and the blossoming of a local kid might indirectly impact how much the Yankees are willing to pay Judge. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Anthony Volpe, the kid from Del Barton.
Yep.
Okay, a couple of years back, is bombing. He hits home runs. He's a real hitter. We talked to CeCe Sabathia about him.
He said he hadn't seen him.
Hadn't seen him field.
Well, hadn't seen him in person.
No, he said he's seen him hit, hasn't seen him play shortstop. Because I asked him if he thinks projects to shortstop, because I'm not sure about that. But I know he's got the stick. And if Volpe becomes a player that, you know, can hit.
Where is he right now? High A?
No, I think he's a double A. I believe he's a double A, right? And he's a 30 home run kind of like a masher. And he's making peanuts the first couple of years, unless they buy out arbitration, whatever. It's more palatable to pay Judge maybe an extra $30, $40 million because you quite possibly are getting offense from a kid who's making peanuts.
Yeah, so you don't have to go after one of these shortstops that are in free agency right now.
Correct.
That are going to break the bank.
You could get a Simmons to catch the ball for a year, and then Volpe does his thing real quick, because then we'll finish this up. So I got moles everywhere, buddy. I got a text from my boy Mike, who coaches with my son. Great guy.
Yeah.
Played goalie in college at New Hampshire. Knows his hockey. And the Shesterkin comparison, and I wanted to know the truth. He wrote, I said, who's better? Honestly, who's more talented? And this guy played goalie. He said, I would go with Igor. Mm. He would go with Shesterkin. Henrik could never play the puck. Igor's unreal at handling the puck, that we know. But Rangers started a lot of rushes off his puck play. Guy's a wizard playing the puck. Biggest issues with injuries, but in terms of talent, Igor more talented. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Than Henrik. How about that?
There was a couple of instances
from a college goalie
last night where he chucked it down the other end. You know what I mean? And it's a skill to do that.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Absolutely.
Especially when you do it on the glass, because he shot it down.
Well, like Brodeur.
Exactly.
He was like a surgeon with that.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that, buddy. Coming up next here, Blood in the Garden. Boy, for a team that never won a championship, how much do we love the 90s Knicks? Eventually, we'd like to have a team that actually wins, but these guys were just, they're irreplaceable. Now, they can win three in a row. They can become the Warriors, and this 90s Knicks team will always mean something to us. So the author of this book, Chris Herring, you think you know stories? You don't. We'll hear some coming up next right here on The Fan with Tiki and Tierney.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.